Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
The Hospice of the Chesapeake provides support, care, counseling, and many other services. Joining me are two members of that organization, Karen Frank, who is the director of the Chesapeake Life Center, as well as co-director of the Chesapeake Kids Program, and Tim McDonough, who we refer to as Volunteer Extraordinaire. He is a foundation board member and a longtime volunteer with hospice. Tim and Karen, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you.
As you all know, I've been a longtime supporter of hospice. We attend your events. We think that you provide tremendous service. But I want to just go into some of the things that you do, because every time I talk to you all, I learn something new. And recently, I had the pleasure of going over to the Life Center and visiting it and seeing what you're doing, what you're planning to do to provide support to people in the Chesapeake region where you are. Anyway, first off, let's define you geographically. You provide support to people in what areas, Karen?
Well, that's a very good question, Shirley. So Hospice of the Chesapeake has a certificate of need from the state of Maryland to provide care for patients in Prince George's and Anne Arundel County. That is anybody that's experiencing end of life that comes onto our service. Chesapeake Life Center, however, is not bound by those same geographical boundaries. And we can serve anyone that is struggling with grief and loss.
Okay. And so you really have kind of two divisions.
Yes.
One is the support for the survivors, mm-hmm. and one is the support for the patient.
Correct.
Right.
Patient and family. Correct.
Patient and family.
Yes.
And I just think that's incredible. But you also go beyond that. When you say family, you really mean family, because
we
you
really
deal with
do.
Children's issues. Mm-hmm. You're part of that program as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I think one of the things we've learned, and we were talking about this briefly before we went on the air, is what defines family. And certainly through our Chesapeake Kids program, while we've had a very robust support program for siblings, what we're learning now is that if there is a dying child in our community and we're caring for that child, the children in the classroom and the teachers are all very, very affected. So we've had to take our work a little bit beyond the traditional model of providing care and support for just patient, family, and extended family. Now that family goes that next concentric circle.
That is amazing. Tim, how did you get involved with hospice? Did you have a personal connection to it?
Well, personal experience, not with Hospice of the Chesapeake, but with hospice in general. And through a client of mine in the Annapolis area that introduced me to Hospice of the Chesapeake, and over the years just got to know them and became part of the hospice family, and just seeing the good work that is done within hospice and also within the Life Center.
Yeah, well, it is very, very impressive. And I'm not sure that I can even succeed in giving people the real feeling for what they do. Are you open to the public if someone wants to come over and go through the program? Let's suppose that, you know, as we age, we have to face our mortality, and that's not always easy for us. Can people just come in and visit you all? Do
Absolutely.
You do that?
Absolutely. In fact, we had a gentleman walk in the other day, and just off the street came in. He just needed his questions answered and ended up having a family member admitted to another hospice. But he just needed a little bit of coaching with how to do that. And he was so grateful. He bought us a beautiful plant yesterday, just out of gratitude.
How nice.
Yes.
How nice. Well, you have to have a tremendous impact. But now, of course, in order to provide all these services, yes, you get funding from insurance and Medicare and Medicaid, but it goes way beyond that, because the scope of programs that you provide is just astonishing. And Tim, I think that's where you come in a large part, because I know you've done tremendous work. You recently had a gala that you raised funds for the hospice. Tell us about some of the events that you're doing and are going to be doing.
Well, as you mentioned, we just finished our major fundraising event of the year, which is the gala. And this year, the proceeds that we raised is going to our unreimbursed care, or what we call charity care. Our next event coming up, which is May 15th, it'll be our fourth time at Portia Annapolis for our Fashion for a Cause. We're also excited this year in that Portia is coming out with a new vehicle called the Macan, and we are joining with Porsche to do the launch of the new vehicle as well as the fashion show. So we hope to extend our arm a little bit and hopefully introduce ourselves to a few new people that maybe don't know about Hospice of the Chesapeake.
Can I get one of those new cars?
You absolutely can.
If I'm willing to pay for it.
Yes. Yes.
Too bad.
There'll be two on the floor that night.
Oh, okay. So you actually hold it in the facility?
We use the entire facility. They are very gracious to close the shop down the entire day. They clean the back area for us where they do repairs. It is immaculate, and that's where the fashion show is.
What fun. That is really fun. I know it's a very popular event. You sell out. How can people get tickets if they want to attend?
Our organization, www.hospice100.org or hospicechesapeake.org, either one, will immediately, Fashion for Cause will pop up, and you can purchase tickets online.
Okay, so just give us the website.
It is www.hospice100.org or hospicechesapeake.org.
I tell you, I can't keep up with you all have so many programs. It's just amazing how you've expanded and grown. Karen, tell us a little bit about the history of hospice.
For our organization?
Well, no. Actually, hospice started in England, the movement, didn't it?
It did. It started in England, and it was a place, you know, very much like ours, where people wanted to die at home and have comfort care. And as in the United States, you know, think about how we were about 50 years ago, death was happening in hospitals and becoming very medicalized. And there was a movement to bring death and dying back home and back in a compassionate environment, and really to help patients and families have that final time together. I mean, I think we forget how important that last chapter of someone's life is. And so we worked very hard in our country, and certainly our own organization was started by wonderful people in the community who said, in this community, we want this to happen. And we've been 35 years now and very true to our founders and our roots. They're very deep in the community. And I think that's why have the Chesapeake Life Center, is because it's more than someone dying at home. It's how do we rebuild lives after a death.
Because the big gap, the hole that's left there when you've lost someone,
it
can
be
extraordinarily difficult.
Exactly. And we never know. For some families, they do it just fine and they don't need extra services. And for some, and we never know. So
right.
We need to be
Well, none
there.
Of us know. We don't know how we're going to react to loss.
Exactly.
So it's something you have to deal with. And if you need help, there's places to go. And you're telling us about one of them.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guests are Karen Frank, who's the director of the Chesapeake Life Center, of the Hospice of the Chesapeake, and Tim McDonough, who we refer to as the volunteer extraordinaire because he spends a great deal of time and effort, and I'm sure money too, supporting the foundation. And he also serves on the foundation board. Now, we were just talking about the concept of hospice. So what intrigues me is the things that you do, and I know you're the co-director of this kids program, Karen, mm-hmm. and that is how you support children who are going through loss or who are facing terminal illness.
Yes.
And that must be devastating on a family.
You know, it is devastating. We can only imagine how devastating. And yet, you know, I think any time we can bear witness and support people, it is incredible. It changes the journey for them.
Mm-hmm.
So we have worked very hard. And back in the day, when we early on talking about the history of our organization, we did take care of dying children. And then again, it became very medicalized and hospice stopped doing that. And so several years ago, we said, you know what, we have to do this. It's part of our mission.
Mm-hmm.
And not only taking care of dying children, we are taking care of now perinatal loss. We have a very strong perinatal and infant loss support program, because what we were hearing is we were getting phone calls from people that have prenatal testing and find out that the baby they're carrying is incompatible with life and who supports them. So we do have a very robust perinatal pediatric palliative care program, which is the newest piece of Chesapeake Kids. Mm-hmm. So we still have our camp program and our support programs and our counseling and our arts programs, but now we've added this hospice piece.
Now, you all are, and I know, Tim, you've been involved in the fundraising on this. You are expanding the Life Center, where it's located right now. You're adding also a care facility. Is that correct? Do I have that right?
We are soon to break ground on a 14-bed inpatient care facility on our new campus in Pasadena, Maryland. Mm-hmm. We just moved into a new headquarters last year. And it's a seven acre piece of property, and we have the need for additional bed space. We already have two homes. We have Mandarin House, and we have the Tate House as in Lithicum, Maryland. But we have a need for more bed space for in-care patient care.
Yeah, I can understand that. Now, of course, the concept of hospice, as I understood it originally, was to go into the home and provide the support.
Absolutely.
But sometimes it's not possible for people to stay at home, right?
Yes.
So what you have is a short-term residence. It's at the end of a person's life.
Right. And think about, we had one patient who was homeless. And so her experience would have been, there would be no place for her to go, and she wouldn't have been able to have hospice services. So we took her into the Tate House, and we were able to really help her check off her bucket list. We did wonderful work with her. And so that's why Hospice 100 and our fundraisers work so hard, because that's our charity care. That's exactly why we raise money.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I was impressed with the things that you do. Like, for example, in walking through some of the areas where you're helping children deal with loss. And the stones, you have little stones. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that. It was so moving.
Well, we do. When you think about it, everybody that comes in, their lives have been forever changed by their loss. So we have a communal place where we just collect that. And some children write down a wish on that stone, or if it's a dad, their dad's name or their sibling's name. And it's growing, as you can see, but they take silent comfort in that other people have been here too. And, you know, people say that they'll be, you know, it feels good. As sad as it is, it feels good to be here. It's a place where people get it.
Right.
And so that's our memorial is, we're starting to really say that I've been here and we're going to remember you even when you're not here anymore.
Right. Tim, I know that you were telling me about something you all do that is called the Final Salute. I just loved what this program is about. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, the Final Salute is a group of volunteers that because we are such a military is so much in front of us, these days, not that it shouldn't have, that it always should be. But we look at some of our older veterans, whether they're in our hospice care or not. But, you know, they don't have their final salute until after they have already passed. So a group of our volunteers said, that's really not fair. So we have volunteers from the Naval Academy that will go to the home and present the flag to the veteran. While they're still living.
I think that is so beautiful.
So they partake in their ceremony. They know their ceremony. That is the flag that will cover their coffin in their final resting place.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's something that they never get to see. And this is their final salute.
That is so beautiful. I just love it. It's, you know, it just really kind of makes my heart warm. And you have young cadets participating in this is who goes out?
Yeah, the Naval Academy.
The cadets there.
Yes.
Oh, that is awesome. Do you have a line of people waiting to come do this? I'm sure you do.
I don't think there's ever a need of volunteers to go do this.
Right. If people want to volunteer with the Hospice of the Chesapeake, how do they do that? Just go to your website and find out an opportunity. Now, we should say also that there are comparable, I'm not sure if I should say comparable, but we know that there are hospice organizations serving the entire metropolitan area. So if you're in need and you're not in an area where this is convenient to you, you can go to the telephone directory or go online and just search out hospice for your area. I've had friends who volunteered for hospice in Arlington. I know I've interviewed a long time ago people that were part of a hospice in Arlington. I believe a group of nuns started one in Arlington years and years and years ago. So it's something that's been around. It helps us to deal with those final losses. But let's go back again to the fashion show. Tell us about who some of the designers are. Who provides the fashions there, Tim?
Well, again, we're very fortunate. This is our fourth year at Portia of Annapolis. And our second year, Nordstrom is doing all of the ladies' fashions. Brooks Brothers is doing our men's fashions. They bring them to the dealership for our models. We have a total of about 15, 17 models, guys and women, that are modeling. And our major presenting sponsor, the Wilburn Company, this is his second year being our presenting sponsor at a very high level.
That's awesome. It really is. It's and you have valet parking.
We have valet parking, yes. We have the Westin provides all of the food, and we have two alcohol sponsors as well that will be doing mixed drinks for us. And all of the proceeds that we raise that evening are specifically earmarked for the Chesapeake Kids Program.
The kids program.
So the two summer camps that we run in August, the pediatric and the perinatal care.
Okay, we're going to come back and talk about those. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guests are Karen Frank, who's the director of the Chesapeake Life Center, and Tim McDonough, who is a foundation board member and a longtime volunteer who gives a lot of time and effort to the program. So going back to the children's programs there, and you say all of your fundraising from the fashion show go to the children's programs.
Correct.
But you have something called a summer camp, too.
We run two summer camps. It's a weekend-long summer program for kids. They're divided into Camp Nobby for the young and Camp Phoenix for the older kids. And they're paired with a buddy. And the intent is for kids to be around other kids that have experienced a loss so that they know they're not alone in experiencing this loss.
This must be very hard for young children to grasp. And I guess having someone else who has gone through the same thing can give you a deal of comfort.
Particularly in your own age group.
Right.
You know, because they're participating in a lot of activities, you know, some counseling programs are, you know, going on, but they're really not labeled counseling programs.
Right.
But, you know, it's to help you
helping
you get over that. And again, because you can talk to somebody your own age group that has also experienced a loss.
And Karen, you're very involved in this program, all of the kids' programs.
Absolutely. In fact, actually, I started as a volunteer, I want to say 25 years ago.
Did you really?
And one of the first things that I did early on in my volunteer career is I was a big buddy at Camp Nobby. And it did change my life. It really did.
It's amazing.
Because you watch, you know, human beings are resilient and children are particularly resilient, but they need to really be empowered during that. And you think about when a grief is in a family situation or in a home, just to get them out of that environment for the weekend and give them some special attention and watch the magic that happens, like Tim said, with a group of other children. It is powerful. And
yes.
So that hooked me, and I have forever stayed at Hospice of the Chesapeake.
Now, you all are also doing something. Tim, you mentioned it before we went on the air, that a program that you're working with Loyola University.
Well, through Karen's Life Center, you know, when we're dealing with kids, what they found in their counseling is there was a hole or a gap in guidance counselors, that they weren't recognizing that a child may be grieving in silence. And through one particular instance, Karen and her team at the Life Center with Loyola University in Baltimore are now developing a program to teach new guidance counselors, that are finishing their education degree, how to recognize a grieving child, how to deal with a grieving child, how to seek help for a grieving child. Because, you know, if there is a death in the school, counselors come into the school and they basically, you know, help in that one instance. but a child may have suffered a loss and doesn't really want to talk about it or isn't right. talking about it, but he or she is
well,
still
it may
suffering.
Not be, it may not have gotten the attention of the school authorities for that matter.
Correct.
Right. So I can see. Well, I just think that is mostly, and you very involved in that, Karen. That's part of what you do.
Yes, and actually that's a thank you for that, because we actually have we're a site for Loyola. So we have students from the pastoral counseling program, and we also have social work students from University of Maryland. Because the one piece that I think people have to realize is that the counseling services are not a reimbursable service by an insurance company. Mm-hmm. And for hospice, when that person dies, we actually stop getting paid from the payer, whether it's Medicare or the insurance, on sure. that date of death.
I see.
But we have to provide that care for up to, we go 13 months, and then for pediatrics, we go 24 months. So to help us, we have a very robust internship fellowship program with
that's
several
wonderful.
Of the schools. Yes. And so that's how we're able to keep our doors open. Mm-hmm. We have wonderful supervision, and a lot of our counseling is done by then our master's and PhD students.
So you really have to figure out ways to support the counseling program outside of insurance and Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah, to all outside.
Totally.
Yes.
Wow.
We do have a fee-for-service for our community clients. But yes, we get a very small percentage of net patient revenue from the hospice to take mm-hmm. care of our hospice families. Mm-hmm. But then we raise money, we write a lot of grants, and we do have, a fee-for-service sliding scale for our community members.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Well, that's awesome. And again, if people want to contribute, tell them where to go.
Well, for hospice in general, it's www.hospicechesapeake.org. But Life Center also has web presence. So our website for Chesapeake Life Center is www.chesapeakelifecenter.org.
Yeah.
And if people are even interested, we do a lot of trainings in the community as well. So if you're, out there listening and you want to learn more, please go to our website, because we have wonderful training programs. Any social workers can come in. We do provide CEUs. So that's another way to share the wisdom of what we're doing and meet
right.
new people and
right.
network.
Tim, Hospice 100, you're having something special?
Well, Hospice 100 is our group of young philanthropists. And Hospice 100 is the one that actually puts on the fashion show. To support Chesapeake Kids. Our main mission is the Chesapeake Kids programs, but also to encourage the younger people to teach them how good it feels to be philanthropic.
Now, when you say young, that's a relative term. Tell us.
Well,
are you generally talking about the young professionals?
We are talking about the young professionals. We're looking at those that are just out of college, that have started a career, maybe just becoming a little bit successful in the early stages of their career. They feel that they want to give back a little bit to the community. They don't have a huge disposable income, but they mm-hmm. have a little income. And it's really not so much about the money for us at that point. It's more about the connections.
You're growing your base.
We're growing
exactly.
our base. We do a lot of fun. We do some bar events throughout the year just to kind of, expand our base a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing a Chesapeake Kids Day in late August at the Bowie Bay Sox baseball field.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah. And it should be a great event for us.
And again, they can just put in Hospice of the Chesapeake and find all this, right?
They'll
find various sites for you.
All of our events do come up on the main website.
Mm-hmm.
And then anything that is run by Hospice 100 is on our Hospice
on there as
website.
Well.
Yes.
Oh, that's an awesome idea, because, that's one of the problems with organizations. You see it in the arts. You see it in all kinds of areas, is getting a young base to move up into the leadership positions as the rest of us age. I mean, that's always a challenge. So I think that's a great way to address that challenge. Well, thank you both so much. We've been talking with Tim McDonough and Karen Frank, who with the Hospice of the Chesapeake. And I want to thank you for joining us. I'm Shirley Rooker. You're listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on 1500 AM.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.